coming up on episode number 330. It's another interview, this time with Steph Paines, who's the guitar player for Les Zeppelin, which is an all-female Led Zeppelin tribute band. We'll hear about how the band got started, and if there are any Led Zeppelin songs that they won't cover, coming up right now on Coverville.
Just getting rougher, cover me. Come on, baby, cover me. Well, I'm looking for a hoo-hoo. Come on in and cover me.
My guest tonight is the guitarist for a New York City-based all-female Led Zeppelin tribute band called appropriately Les Zeppelin. Their debut album will be coming out in July, and prior to that, the band will be touring Europe. Please welcome to the show the Jimmy Page of Les Zeppelin, Steph Paines.
Hi there.
Hi.
it's nice to be introduced like that.
Oh, well, thanks. My pleasure. So tell me how the band got started.
Well, it was sort of this crazy whim, really. A couple of years ago, I just was listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin and really just thought to myself one day, you know, it would be my fantasy as a guitar player, musician, etc., to just play this music. I mean, that would be my ideal band, would be to play in Led Zeppelin, you know? And then I just thought, well, why not do it, in a way, you know?
Right.
And then, luckily, I didn't think about it all that much, because if I had, I probably would have realized what a, you know, monumental task it really was. But I just went ahead and started looking around to find some people to do it, and lo and behold, there we are.
Yeah.
Now, is there a technique to deciding how you guys are going to cover a song? I noticed that Rock and Roll and Over the Hills are fairly true to the original, while The Ocean kind of moves away from the original somewhat.
Really, you think? Well, you know, I think what happens is initially what we try to do is just learn the song as it is.
Mm-hmm.
On the record, usually. Sometimes we choose a live version, a particularly good live version, to do instead. And we just try to get it down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, once we start playing it out, it tends to sort of take on new life of its own, you know? Then we sort of take a bit more liberty with it, if it's appropriate, you know? Yeah. For example, like Dazed and Confused is a great example of like this epic song that has kind of really evolved for us as a band, you know. Whereas we originally just tried to learn it as it was from the recorded version. Now when we play it, I mean, we just completely take it out. And the improvisations, the bow solos, all of that stuff are just us, you know.
Cool.
In the spirit of Led Zeppelin. Not something they wouldn't have played, you know. You don't play a solo that sounds like Jimi Hendrix,
right?
You know what I mean? But something, you know, we like to hope that perhaps they would have played on any given night, you know, at Madison Square Garden. Yeah, and so I think what we do, to answer your question, is that we approach it sort of, you know, if you will, religiously at first, and then, you know, it takes on the personality of the four of us as we play it out.
Well, I think that's great. I mean, that's probably the best way for it to still be in the spirit of Led Zeppelin, is to start out with it as faithful to the original as possible, and then just see kind of where it goes. But still, kind of, as you're saying, keeping in the confines of how the original band would have done it.
Yes, but you know, it's been interesting because I think my feeling about the whole thing now is that what people react to most, and what really makes them come out and say things like, oh my God, you know, you are Led Zeppelin, or you're like Led Zeppelin, or this really sounds powerful, like Led Zeppelin sounded. I think what is more effective is actually, you know, the spirit and the passion of the music, being able to, as musicians, to channel that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, you know, rather than, say, just mimicking note for note a piece of music, which I think actually a lot of bands, tribute bands, if you will, may fall into that pattern of
right.
just doing it note for note, every single thing that he would have played, you know, on any given moment. I think what really captures the essence of a group is something that's not, you can't really put your finger on. And really, the only way to get that is to have four individual musicians coming together in a moment with a certain amount of, you know, ability and spirit and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, recreating the moment. And if it's less like Led Zeppelin note for note, but in, you know, powerfully emotive for each musician, it's going to sound more like Led Zeppelin.
Right, right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally, yeah, because it kind of keeps you away from falling into that that Beatlemania trap where
you
sound just like Led Zeppelin, and then, you know, what's the point?
Right, what's the point? And also, no one's really going to sound just like Led Zeppelin anyway, you know?
Right.
I mean, first of all, we're girls, and we have a female singer, so we're never going to, you know, she's not going to sound like Robert Plant.
Right, there's a big difference right there.
Right, exactly. I mean, people say, oh, you sounded girly, but no, you know, I mean, it's like, his high notes were falsetto, her and the high notes are just her range.
Right.
So, so right away, we actually have an advantage of not being trapped in that, you know?
Are there any Led Zeppelin songs that you guys won't or have decided not to cover?
At the moment, we get a lot of grief about this in Europe. Everywhere we went in Germany. So why do you not play Stairway? was the question coming at us from like puzzled audience members.
Right.
Yeah, we don't play Stairway at the moment. Mm-hmm. We have done in the past, you know, but not right now. We kind of choose not to play that one, but everything else is up for grabs.
Kind of because it's the most identifiable Led Zeppelin song, or is there another reason behind why you guys?
Well, you know, I think Stairway is epic. You know, it's so huge mm-hmm. that I just think that it has to be done in a certain way. It has to be done in a certain place. I mean, I think that if we get to Madison Square Garden one day, we'll play Stairway. I cannot see playing it in a club down in, you know, I don't know, Little Rock, Arkansas.
That's a good
point. Somehow, I think that's part of it. And I also just think that it's so known that there's a thin line between it being, like, kitsch and being what it is, which really is a monumental rock tune. I mean, it really is what it is, which is why it's so cliched, you know?
Right.
I think it's an incredible composition. It's just one of those pieces that will forever endure, you know? And it becomes a kind of, you know, cliched, jokeable thing because of that, because it's so overdone.
Sure.
You know?
Well, and everybody knows it so well that to really do it justice, you know, you've got to really just kind of wrap around it. And if there's any, if it doesn't work, it's going to be a lot more apparent.
Right. If any hesitancy.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, of course, there being a finite catalog of Led Zeppelin material to go through,
right.
Do you guys consider covering other artists, or that's a whole nother name and a whole nother group?
Yeah, no, we throw in a few ABBA numbers here and there.
Really?
No, actually, no.
Oh, okay.
it would be tempting, though. No, I think this is once is enough. I can't see covering anybody else, actually. Mm-hmm. The idea was not to form a cover band and then pick Led Zeppelin. The idea was to play Led Zeppelin, you know, I think. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't sort of, unless I'm struck again by some powerful urge to play, you know, I don't know, Bad Company or something.
Right. Well, then there's the ABBA tribute group.
Right. But I think that people are asking us all the time if we're going to play originals and what's the deal with that and all that. We're really getting that a lot now. Mm-hmm. And there are a few little surprises, a little sort of forays into something like that on our first record. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, right now there's plenty more Zeppelin to conquer.
Yeah.
And so we're quite satisfied and quite happy doing that. But, you know, you never know. If it feels right, if it works, we might see how the other thing.
I mean, you could even consider doing, well, I don't know. I mean, would you consider doing some of Robert Plant's solo stuff? Or is that, again, that kind of falls into that same.
Yeah.
Category of being a different, you know, a different band, a different
right.
time kind of thing.
Yeah, we really haven't considered that. I think probably we would veer clear of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I think, no, we'll probably stick to Zeppelin.
You're not going to run out of material.
We still have to get to Presence and into the Outdoor, and we still have to make good headway into those records.
Right. And like I said, you're not going to run out of material anytime soon.
Right.
Tell me about your typical audience. Is it mostly people who are Led Zeppelin fans who kind of want a new taste of the band, or is it a brand new audience?
It's everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredibly diverse audience. Strikingly diverse. Mm-hmm. It's like a music industry person's dream, really. But, I mean, typically what we get sometimes in the front row are, you know, especially at all ages shows, 14-year-old boys with long hair.
Really?
And you might think, oh, my God, what year, you know, this could be 1972 from the looks of it. And so we get, like, you know, kids who are totally, totally into Zeppelin. It's like their band. And, you know, it's very interesting, but there you have it.
Wow.
Despite, you know, the glut of music, Zeppelin still reigns as the favorite band of, you know, a lot of kids.
Wow.
So there's that. And then there's, you know, the other end of the spectrum would be the older people who have actually seen Zeppelin, you know, 10 times with the LA Forum or whatever, and they're here again. They want to relive it. And then everything in between, you know?
Wow.
And men, women, everything.
And the reactions...
It's just fascinating.
And the reactions that you get from... let's look at those two groups, like the 14-year-old
right.
boys.
Right.
Do they... You know, what kind of reactions do you get from them? I mean, is it all... It's got to be all positive, like all... excited to be able to hear these songs live again.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely great. I mean, you know, when we first started out, we thought, well, you know, what are the diehard Zeppelin people going to think of this, you know? Because, A, we are girls, you know, are they going to go for that? And et cetera, et cetera. But it's been absolutely fantastic. People have said things to us, wonderful things to us, you know, about how it really does it for them, you know?
Wow.
I think there's a lot of spirit on the stage and a lot of emotion, a lot of... We're very into it. You know, it's like... we have a lot of fun, but you should do, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, when we start to play, it's like we're there 150%, more than that, every night, you know? And it just... That's the kind of thing that people react to. That's the kind of thing they don't really get that much of. To that kind of, like, concert experience... where they're hearing, you know, sometimes we play 2.5-3 hours almost.
Wow.
And there's incredible musicianship on stage, you know, and everyone is shines and everyone is a lot of, you know, energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just kind of cuts across all bounds. It's great.
With the band being so much of a live experience, was it hard to decide to actually put out a CD? I mean, you know, because the seeing you guys perform live, I'm sure, is so much of what you're about that just hearing you guys on CD, do you feel like that loses something, or is it just another direction, another way to enjoy you guys?
You know, it's a good question because they are very different things, being in the studio and being on stage. But no, I think it is a different way. You know, I think it does work, and it's the CD is great. I mean, it's very powerful. It was done in the best studios in New York, and with Eddie Kramer, who, you know, worked on a good number of the Zeppelin records. So it's a very satisfying experience, the CD, you know, in its own way. And then the live experience is different because you get all the visual stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really fun for us to sort of make that leap from being on stage where there's a lot of interplay and all that sort of stuff to being in the studio and really working that aspect of things.
Right. Not necessarily confined, but just kind of having a different, producing a different sound from it, basically.
Yeah, we got a chance to play with sounds a lot, and like for me in particular, where there are so many guitar tracks on a Zeppelin record, when we play live, you got to pick one of those tracks and play them. You know, there's only one guitar on stage, and that's it. You know,
right.
So the sound, the full sound of that guitar army that Paige used to like talk about, you know, you get to recreate it finally when you step into the studio with different guitars, different amps, different sounds. You layer the harmonies. It's just great.
Oh, cool.
What fun, yeah.
Overlaying, and oh, that's really cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Terrific.
And very much part of what they did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so they did those two things very well. I mean, you know, Paige, as producer in the studio, was, you know, genius, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think he created in the studio was unique and transcendent. And then when they got on stage, they didn't add guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they he picked one of those guitar lines to play, and they did their best to sort of just recreate the energy of the recorded song live.
Which makes sense. I mean, I guess so the Led Zeppelin experience, you know, in concert is emotes the actual Led Zeppelin performances, while the studio emotes the Led Zeppelin studio albums. So I guess that,
sure,
that makes sense.
Exactly. There you have it. Perfectly said.
Great. Well,
I thought of that.
I'll edit that and you know, make it sound like. No, I appreciate you taking the time. So you guys are getting ready to hit the road this week, right? You're leaving at the end of this week to go to Europe for the for some European dates, some German dates.
Yes, yes. If I don't die of a sinus infection before then, we're off tonight, tomorrow.
Wow.
And our first stop are a couple of German festivals.
Okay.
Near Frankfurt, and then we head to Amsterdam and play a show there, and then we go over to Ireland, where we have not yet been.
Mm-hmm.
And then we play the Download Festival in England.
Wow.
So it's really going to be fun.
Oh, sounds like a fun tour, and hopefully
you're
feeling better before you get on the airplane.
Thank you. Thank you. But I think it's quite a new thing for a band like ours to be playing these festivals. We've created quite a stir on some of the boards at Download, you know, the online message boards.
Really?
Like, who are they? Is this a tribute band, a cover band? What are they doing here? You know, is it Led Zeppelin? Some people think it's Led Zeppelin.
With a typo?
Yeah. They're like, but why would they be on the second stage? You know, behind Marilyn Manson. Wouldn't they be headlining?
Oh, funny.
It's very funny if you read some of these things.
The fact that you're a tribute band, is that going to be a pretty unique thing among all these festivals you're doing? I mean, are there any other tribute bands that are part of this that that you know of?
Not at all, no.
Wow. So you guys
and we don't consider ourselves a tribute band, and maybe that's why. That mm-hmm. We've managed to force our own hegemony on everybody else. But we don't really consider ourselves a tribute band. I think that we do play the music of Led Zeppelin, but there's something unique and personal going on.
Sure.
You know?
That's right.
And I think that's the difference.
We were talking earlier about the tribute bands kind of being, trying to remain as faithful to the originals as possible.
Right.
And you guys do have, take it in that different direction.
Right.
So much.
And when does the album come out?
July 10th.
July 10th. Terrific.
Yes. Right.
Well, I'll be looking forward to getting a copy myself, and I'm sure a lot of the fans in the audience. I'm going to play a couple tracks during the show and give them a chance to hear your sound and kind of get a taste for what they'll
get.
That's
great.
Excellent.
Really?
Well, Steph, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me here.
That's terrific. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steph. Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, that's going to do it for tonight's edition of Coverville. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with me, you'll find all that information over at coverville.com. Thanks to cashfly.com for handling the bandwidth. And Coverville is a proud member of the Backbeat Media Podcast Network. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.